how it is that we spend our time, how it is that we spend our money, right? The things that we value, right? They get those things. This taught us in that parable that the kingdom of heaven is the most valuable thing that we could ever acquire. The most valuable thing. And then the next Sunday, Pastor Amy, she led us through the parable of the talents. So God taught us that all of us receive talents. All of us receive God's grace in our lives. We also learned that what we do with that, what we do with those talents that He gives us, is also very important. Just because God gives and blesses doesn't mean that we're actually going to use them. And we could bury it or sit on it rather than invest what He's given to us. The next Sunday we looked at 1 Peter 2, where Peter says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and aliens to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul." He says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us." We looked at two images that Sunday, the image of a hut and of a coracle. Remember those two circles? The hut and the coracle. And we talked about how the monks, the Celtic monks, oriented their lives around these two spheres. They would go in their hut and they would learn how to abstain from the things of this world and how to obtain the things of God. And spiritual development, spiritual discipleship, spiritual growth in the hut. And then they would get in these little boats, these coracles, and they'd push off to go out and live among the world wherever the current or the wind would take them. Where they landed, they said, "That's where God wanted me to be." And that was the spiritual adventure, living their lives among the pagans so that they too may see what they had learned in the hut. And if we want to increase our capacity, you and I, we need to have a hut, right? And we need to have a coracle, a place where we develop ourselves and a place for adventure. Last two Sundays ago, we looked at Psalm 2, and it was Ascension Sunday, Ascension Day. We talked about the throne. Jesus ascended to heaven and is now seated where? At the right hand of God the Father. He's in a position of authority. If we want to increase our capacity to build His kingdom and not our own, we need to get out of the throne, don't we? And we need to kiss the Son. We talked about kissing the Son, submitting to Him, recognizing who He is and what He has done, and yielding to that authority. And today it's Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to look at talk about the Spirit of God. And we're going to look at Galatians 5 together. So as we turn our attention, would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come before You now. And as we, as Your people, as we turn our attention to Your Word, we call upon Your Spirit, the Holy Spirit that You poured out on that first Pentecost Sunday, to be at work in our midst. Lord, challenge us, convict us, encourage us, and empower us through Your Word to us this morning. Spirit of God, have Your way. Have Your way. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. No. I've got a green light, but I feel like it's going in and out. Is it going in and out? Okay. Testing 1, 2. Testing. Is it better? So far? All right. Well, maybe we'll have to put up with that. We'll see if it comes in and out. Lord, we'll pray. We pray that it will go out. Okay? We pray that it will go out. Turn with me to Galatians 5, would you? If you need a Bible, there's this whole table of them right here. A whole huge table, round table. Please grab a Bible and turn to Galatians 5. And that page number is 826. It's very small. I should have done that better. I see now. But page 826. Okay? We're going to look at Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26 this morning. All right. and reflect on Paul's words to the churches in Galatia, and also to us here this morning. In this section, he's encouraging them to live by the Spirit of God that was poured out on that first Pentecost Sunday that we read about in Acts 2 earlier. Okay. Here Paul says this. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh," Paul says. And my footnote in my Bible reminds me that in this context, the Greek word for flesh here refers to the sinful nature within us, the sinful state of human beings. That's often presented as a power in opposition to the Spirit of God. Okay? So it says, do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other, Paul says. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And then verse 25 again, Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So people of God, take a look at the photo on the screen and tell me what you see. Marching band. Okay? What do you notice about that marching band? Anything? Tall guy in the middle. What do you notice about that tall guy in the middle? He's playing a trombone, that's right. He was a pretty good trombone player too, actually. It was. Yes. Do you know who that guy is? That's right. That's me. That's me in high school marching band. What's that? Okay, that's right. How long ago was it? Who wants to guess? What year was this picture taken? Oh, yeah, you know what it is. It's cheer. 96? No, a little older. A little older. This is 1991. Okay, this is my junior year in high school at Ileana Christian High School. I was in the marching band, played trombone. I was first chair trombone in the band. And they put me in the middle because I was the pinnacle of the peak, right? You want the tall people in the middle, and then you come out there. Yep. This is actually in Pella, Iowa, at the Tool Time Festival that they have in Pella, Iowa. I don't know if you Iowa fans out there, but you can see George's Pizza there. Great place to get pizza if you're ever in Pella, Iowa. Please go. It is awesome. I miss it. All right? Why is Pastor Henry bringing you down memory lane in marching band? Anybody else in marching band, by the way? Was I the only one? All right, here we go. Do you guys all have your instruments? We should do something, man. We should do something. You guys have your uniforms? What you don't see in this picture is I was hoping that my legs would show, because whenever Pastor Henny was in the marching band, there was always a flood. Because they had these one-size-fits-all, except for the real tall, thin guys. So, and then they had white socks, so I'm there like, I'm cruising down, white shoes. It was a hoot. Anyway, why am I bringing you down memory lane to marching band? The reason is this. In our text for today, in Galatians 5:25, Paul uses a specific Greek word in order to describe what it is that our relationship should be with the Spirit of God. In Galatians 5, Paul says this. He says, since we live by the Spirit, let us stoicheo with the Spirit. Right? Stoicheo is the Greek word there. Since we live by the Spirit, let us stoicheo with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, Paul says. Stoicheo is the Greek word, which means to be in rows, to walk by rule. It means to walk in a line in strict accordance to a particular pace or stride. It means to walk in cadence, to keep in step with those who are around you. Right? So when you hear the phrase keeping in step, imagine marching bands. Imagine dancers like the Rockettes. Right? Imagine military units that are moving in formation. Reverend George Rowan, a CRC pastor in Ontario, Canada, reminds us in his comments on these verses that the word used for keeping in step is an interesting one. He says it can be applied equally to a group of dancers. My daughter's a dancer, and she has to learn to keep in step with the other people that are in her class, or to military formations. Those who march in step and those who dance in step with one another march or dance with the one who is leading them. The phrase keeping in step can, to a lesser degree, also be applied to athletes or to farmers or to anyone whose job is made easier if he or she follows an established way of doing things or a way of walking. It's helpful for us to remember that in Paul's day, when he's writing this, military battles were fought very differently than they are today. There were no drones back then. Defense was based on a very strict pattern of working together. Armies had to move together as a single unit. They had to keep in step with each other. Take a look at this photo on the screen. This is a modern rendition of a Roman military unit. These were what the army would look like in Paul's day. People that he's writing to in Galatia, they would be familiar with this. What do you notice about this? Look at those shields. Roman shields were made in such a way that each one could literally be locked to the other one on either side. They were locked together to form an individual wall, like a single wall. A row of shields locked together provided a solid defense. Behind it, soldiers could advance against the enemy. Behind it, they could stand their ground. When Paul writes and he says, keep in step with the Spirit, this is the image right here. This is the picture that they desire to have in their hearts and in their minds, describing what he's talking about when he says, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit so it looks like this. This. Hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield. says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Like this. The thing about this formation is that it only works when soldiers are willing to work together as a unit. Marching and moving this way does not come naturally, does it? And in battle, it goes against every natural instinct to stay like that. In battle, you wanna run. But if someone broke a rank, what would happen to the unit? If one person ran, what would happen to that? Collapse, or it would become vulnerable. It would become weak. The unit would be torn apart. As soldiers, they had to learn not to be their own, but that they belong to a body, that they belong to a unit. Unit first, not me first. Unit first, not me first. And what's true for people in the military, what's true for soldiers, what's true for marching band members, is also true for you and me. Moving with the Spirit of God does not come naturally to us. Our sinful nature comes naturally to us. And what would it rather do? It would rather break free. It would rather run this way. It would rather run and do that. Or go over there. Or go over there. It would rather do the same thing a soldier would do in battle, right? Want to run. Our sinful nature would much rather march to the beat of its own drum. We'd like to do our own thing. I'm not going to follow that cadence. I'm going to go where I want to go. Because of that natural instinct that we have, soldiers have to learn to drill for hours. Hey, learning to function as a unit. They have to learn to keep in step. That first day of marching band practice, if you watched us, it would be ugly. And it was ugly. Right? We were running into each other. It looked terrible, right? Because I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to do that. I want to go where I want to go. And why are you stopping in front of me? But then after a few weeks, right, we learned. Right, we practiced. Up and down the street we would go. Right, we would learn. And as we practiced, as we marched, as we learned, what happened? Those bad habits that we had would go away. Right, and we would learn how to keep in step with one another. Paul challenges you and me this morning to do the same thing with the Spirit of God. Keep in step with the Spirit, he says. The Spirit of God who lives within us. The one who is leading and guiding. Paul says, listen. Listen for his commands. Watch, look, and follow. Listen, look, and follow him, Paul says. What does it mean? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? William Hendrickson, in his commentary, says this: it means sanctification. He says it's that constant, effective, and beneficent influence which the Holy Spirit exercises within the hearts of God's children, where they are being directed and they are being enabled more and more to crush the power of indwelling sin and to walk by the ways of God's commands freely and cheerfully. Being led by the Spirit, he says, is more than pointing out the right way, like, go do that. When the Holy Spirit leads believers, he becomes the controlling influence in their lives. Being led means that we allow God's Word, we allow His will, we allow His instruction, His commands, His teaching, His warnings to influence and control where it is that we go, what it is that we do, what it is that we say. That's what being led is all about. It's not doing my own thing. I'm heeding what he says. Being led by the Spirit in military terms means that the Spirit of God becomes our drill sergeant. We listen to him. In marching band terms, the Spirit of God becomes our drum major. If you know anything about marching bands, there's one person that's calling the shots. That's leading the whole team. And the whole team only works if everyone listens to the major, right? The Spirit of God becomes our drum major. In dancing terms, for all you dancers out there, the Spirit of God becomes our choreographer. We heed His choreography. We do what He says. We don't dance to our own beat, but we listen to the choreographer. Being led by the Spirit to be fully effective implies and necessitates that we allow ourselves to be led. A change needs to happen. That sinful nature needs to go away so that we can be led into the truth. Being led by the Spirit means we release control of our steps and allow God to control the steps of our hearts and our lives. So how do we know? How do we know if we're keeping in step with our God or if we're doing our own thing, beating to our own drum? One of the ways Paul says is he says, just examine your life. He says, take a look at the fruit that your life is producing. He says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Right? The fruit of the flesh is obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, he says, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. People who live like this are not keeping in step with the Spirit of God. Are you worshiping other gods, false gods? Paul says, give up idolatry. Are you putting your faith in magic or some other superhuman power besides the Spirit? Give up witchcraft. Do you have a readiness to quarrel within you? Do you have a contentious spirit inside? Paul says, give up discord. Let it go. Do you have a fear of losing what you have? Paul says, give up on jealousy. Let it go. Do you have impulsive or outbursts of anger? Impulsive anger. He says, let the fits of rage go. Do you crave honor for yourself? He says, give away dissension. Let it go. Do you have displeasure when you see someone else has something that you don't? Paul says, give up envy. And these things, we look at this list and we see these presence in our lives. It's a sign that we're keeping in step with something besides the Spirit. We're being led. We're following a beat. Right? We're marching to a drummer. That's not the Spirit of God. He says, if you see this fruit, let it go. Let it go. These things are the result of when we unlock, right? When we release the Spirit of God in order to follow and keep in step with something else. Then Paul goes on to say this. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's forbearance. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. It's self-control. And against such things, there is no law. These things, Paul says, if you see these things in your lives, these are the result of following and keeping in step with the Spirit. If you love what God loves, that means you're walking in the step of the Spirit. If you have a joy that comes from the awareness that God has poured His grace out on you, it means you're in step with the Spirit. If you have a wholeness, if you have a peace about yourself that comes from God, and that's a result of keeping in step with the Spirit. If you're able to wait sufficient time before blowing up in anger, if you have patience, it's because you're keeping in step with the Spirit. If you're able to be kind, and if God is kind to you, if you're kind, that comes from walking in step with the Spirit. If you have a gentle strength within you, right? A meekness that comes from God, that's you're walking in step with the Spirit. If you're able to master those desires, right? Self-control, that comes from walking with the Spirit. Paul says, these are the things that bring life. These are the things that result when we're shoulder to shoulder with the Spirit of God. He says, these things have no limit or no boundaries. Right? I can never have too much joy, can we? Can we have too much joy? Can we have too much kindness? Can you be too kind? Can you have too much self-control? Is that possible? Can we have too much gentleness? There's no law against what the Spirit offers. There's no limits. There's only laws about things which need to be bound or controlled. There's no law against gentleness and love and goodness. How do I know, Paul says? By looking at the fruit. Are these things coming out of my life? Do I experience these? Do others around me experience these things? How do we keep step? How do you and I keep step with the Spirit? I invite you to listen to Psalm 25. And as you listen to what the psalmist says, listen for answers to how it is that we should keep step with the Spirit. How it is that we do that. Psalmist says this, he says, in you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of His covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways that they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for He, only He, will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies, how freely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in You. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. How do you and I keep step in the Spirit? Phrases that jumped out to me were, I trust in You. Those who keep in step with the Spirit, trust in Him. Show me Your ways. Teach me. Those who can keep in step with the Spirit of God want to learn. They want to see. They call upon God to show. Guide me, the psalmist says. Guide me in Your truth. Those who keep in step with the Spirit, they aren't doing their own thing, right? They're following the guide. Guide me, Lord. Guide me. For I take refuge in You was another phrase. I take refuge. Not in what I think is best. Not in what I hope is best. Not in what I think feels best. No. I'm going to take refuge in You. I'm going to seek You out. I'm going to seek You out. Take a look at this picture. What do you notice about that picture? Look at those feet. What do you notice about the feet? They're pretty much all the same, aren't they? Look at them. Look at them all in that line. I mean, to the inch almost. Fifth guy in there, he's about 2 inches back, but I mean, given human nature, right? Given people, look at this. Are they in step or not? Look at this drum major. Looks like he's got a little joy in him. Yeah? And look at them all. What has to happen in order for that to happen? What has to happen for everyone to be on the same foot, for everyone to keep in step? Look at that. Practice, okay? Focus. What else? What's that? Concentration. All right, what else? Follow One, all right? Submission. A huge one. Huge one with high school students and marching band submission. Oh! It's terrible. It's just awful. Always awful. How come he gets to be drum major? How come she gets to be drum major? I want to be drum major even though I'm in the 17th row. Right? Right? Submission. In order to get that, right, you do. You have to concentrate, but you have to submit to the one in front. And as goes the drum major, as goes the band. What else needs to happen? Practice. Right? You think they look like that the first day? They probably did, because this is college level. But right? What else has to happen in order for that to happen? Listening. All right. Does he have a whistle in his mouth? Sometimes they have a whistle. I don't see his whistle. It's probably in his hand. Right? Okay, a willingness. Yep. What else? You got to want to do it. What else? Discipline. Okay. Dedication. Work together. Right. Deny yourself. Right. If you want to increase your capacity to keep in step with the Spirit, right? To look like this, right? These are the things that have to happen. We don't naturally just... Right? Don't. You guys are hitting the nail on the head. All the nails. Right? We want to go up. A lot of things have to go down, don't they? end with this. J.I. Packer wrote this book called Keeping in Step with the Spirit. 250 pages about this little phrase that Paul talks about here in Galatians 5. 250 pages. And one of the things he states in his book is this. He says, because the Spirit of God has been poured out into the world on Pentecost, right? That's today. That's what we celebrate today. About 2,000 years ago, the Spirit of God was poured out. And it's here to stay. He says, the questions that we should not ask are, do you know the Spirit or do you have the Spirit? He says, those are the wrong questions, right? The Spirit is here. It is out. It is all around us. The Spirit of God is available. It is available. The drum major is out there. Right? The drill sergeant is out there. The choreographer is out there. Choreographer, there it is. Right? The Spirit has been poured out. Right? The question is not, do you know it or do you have it? No, he says the questions you and I need to ask ourselves is, does the Spirit have us? The Spirit have us. Right? It's here. But does it have us? We talked about willingness. We talked about submission. We talked about discipline. Right? Things that we need to do in order so that the Spirit has us. Right? Does it have us? Does He have all of us? Or just some parts? Are we grieving the Spirit by how we're walking? Right? Or are we being led by the Spirit by how we're walking? Are we relying on the Spirit that is out there? Right? That's not the question. The Spirit's here. The question is, are we relying on the Spirit that's there? For all those responses to Christ to which He prompts you. Not just while we're here, right? Pretty soon we're going to go, hey, are we relying on God when we're going to have lunch together? Right? When we go to work on Tuesday morning because, hey, Monday's a holiday. Woohoo! Right? But are we going to rely on the Spirit on Tuesday? Do you revere the work of the Spirit, He asks, within you and cooperate, or do we obstruct it by our thoughtlessness and our carelessness? By our indiscipline and our self-indulgence? These are the questions that He says we need to ask this Pentecost Sunday. Keep in step. Keep in step, Paul says. Keep in step. So then this morning we have an opportunity just to respond. To sit with these and others. Other questions that we have. This is Pentecost Sunday, right? The Spirit is here, right? So we have an opportunity right now to respond and to hear what God is saying to us as we examine, are we keeping in step? So in these next few moments, I invite you to just do that. Reflect on these questions. If you'd like to do that alone, that's fine. If you would like to do that in a group of people, I invite you and encourage you to do that as well. One of the things that is often helpful is, right, we learn how to keep in step by hearing and learning from others how they keep in step with the Spirit of God. Maybe there's some people around you, right, who want to get together and say, this is going well, thumbs up to that. This is not going well, thumbs down to that. So I'm going to open it up. I'm going to just release it. And let you be open to the Spirit that is out there. Right? That is here this morning. So use this time. Does the Spirit have you? Spend some time and then in a little bit we'll sing some more songs. Okay?